Welcome to White Shores, the podcast for spiritual beings having a human experience. Let me invite you to walk once more beside me on White Shores to talk about the real meaning of life and the true power of what is unseen. Let's discuss dreams, intuition, manifesting, as above, so below, angels, afterlife, the science of consciousness, and other infinite possibilities within and all around you. I hope every episode informs, inspires, and illuminates. So, now the scene is set. Allow the grey rain curtain of this world to roll back and all to turn to silver glass. Let's walk barefoot together on the gentle, glistening sands of White Shores to see what mystery lies beyond the material. Thank you for arriving safely on White Shores and beyond, a far green country under a swift sunrise.
Head, shoulders, knees and toes, head.
There are probably very few people listening right now who aren't familiar with this children's nursery song, Head, Shoulders, Knees and Toes. It's used to teach young children about the different parts of their bodies to help create body awareness. Children need to have body awareness, which is more, though, than just knowing you have arms and legs. It's also about having an internal awareness of your body and where it is without needing to look. For example, if you close your eyes, you know where your hands are. Body awareness comes from our proprioceptive sense, which informs the brain about your position and movement in space. When body awareness has developed, you automatically know where your body is in space and where your limbs are placed. It's such a shame, though, that children aren't encouraged to also connect to their body intuitively or psychically, rather than just physically, because this would help them read and understand their own body language or signs better, and also understand others better too. There truly is a whole world of meaning, psychic meaning, in the human body that can inspire your spiritual growth and understanding of yourself and others. And my special guest today is someone who can speak eloquently about the human body from an intuitive perspective that allows for an understanding of the body's energy, as well as emotions and sensations and intuition. Her name is Stephanie Marango, MD, and she is an integrative physician. A graduate of Stanford University, she received her MD with distinction in research from the School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. In addition to her private practice in New York, Stephanie educates about wellness at medical centers and health organizations nationwide, and her expertise is cited throughout print and broadcast media like Women's Health, Fitness, Shape Magazine, and I'm going on and on with the list of illustrious names. She has also authored a variety of works, from peer-reviewed research to popular books such as The Wisdom of Your Body and The Body and Your Body and the Stars. Currently, she spends most of her professional time as founder CEO of Coherent Health, a digital platform that provides a way for all health and wellness professionals to integrate care. So I have a real body-mind, mind-body, and as well as a mind-body-soul expert on White Shores today. If you have read and been intrigued by Louise Hayes' You Can Heal Your Life or Dr. Northrup's Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom, and so on, I know you will find Stephanie's upcoming interview compelling. But whether you have heard of those books or know about body talk or not, I hope it offers you a new perspective on the way your body both walks and talks that you may not have considered before. Do stay tuned afterwards if you can, as I will share a psychic look at the body. But first, it is high time to welcome to these white shores and beyond the body, mind, heart and soul wisdom of Dr. Stephanie Marengo. And I'm absolutely thrilled that she's here to connect to us and inspire us today. Hello, Stephanie.
Hello, Teresa, and everybody listening. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, I shared highlights of your life in the introduction to this interview, but of course, you know, that's just highlights. I'd love now for listeners of White Shores to get to know you better. Please, could you share your story and what brought you to do what you do?
Of course. That's the funny thing about bios, right? They give us the highlights, but are a bit devoid of the context.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I do a lot of connecting the dots, and my story officially begins when I was just graduated from college. I went to Stanford University, and at the time, Stanford was really Silicon Valley bubble number one. And I had the opportunity to participate in startup land. And I see a great purpose and a fundamental good in creating companies that provide a good work, product, service, employment for their employees, self-sufficiency. And this was the world I was in until the fall of 1998, when there was a six-car pileup on Highway 101 in California, and I was car number five. Oh. And yeah, you don't see that coming. Very impactful in many different ways. And for me, I could have died and I didn't. And that wasn't lost on me. And I took the opportunity to really see the gift in the wound, the blessing in disguise, and ask a lot of questions about, well, how do I really want to help people? And what do I really mean by fundamental? And I lost my short-term memory. I couldn't walk. And so I just couldn't shake that fundamentally I wanted to help people in a way that connected to their physical, emotional, mental, spiritual well-being. Just the full well-being, the sum total of a person. And I went to medical school because I thought that I could help that understanding of what well-being is and how integrative it is, not just in terms of who you are, the different aspects of you as a person, but also what it takes to get there. So for example, after the car collision, after a month of not being able to think, remember, walk more than a block, all I had was painkillers and a prescription effectively to hang out on a couch until I could move. And that just wasn't doing it for me. I'm a dancer. I'm very proactive about my health and my body. And I said, you know what? I'm going to try a lot of different modalities. I've always been open-minded, but that really started my journey with everything from, at the time, physical therapy, chiropractic, acupuncture, to so many other modalities, Alexander technique, Reiki, Feldenkrais, gyro. And I learned that there's so many different ways people can be well. And it's not that there's only one way and that works throughout your entire life. It's there are many different ways, and many different ways are going to work at different points throughout your life. So I entered medical school with this mission to integrate. I had no idea what that meant at the time, but then from medical school on, the theme of all of my work, whether it's in patient care, education, books, the Coherent Health website I just founded, it's all about integration.
Integration of mind, body, and soul. That's what you're saying here.
Integration, yes. So the aspects of ourselves, as well as needing to integrate different modalities in order to integrate the different aspects of ourselves, right?
Absolutely.
So for example, you might have a health coach and a yoga instructor and a body worker and your primary care physician.
Wow, I'm all for that. I love this message, the holistic approach to health, which is something I've been in tune with forever. My big question is though that in today's busy world, often, you know, like when I go and see a doctor, you just get a pill. You know, you know, there's no time, especially over here in the UK. I find doctors are just so stressed. So how do you see your model integrating more mainstream with this busy system that everybody's in? Because it takes time, doesn't it, to find the right treatment the right balance between mind, body, and soul. And if I went to my doctor and I talked about the spiritual aspect, I think they would look at me as if I was thinking straight
ahead. Yes, fair enough.
And it comes to people who are understanding, who have, and I know my listeners of White Shores, they're amazing, they will understand this, and who want this maybe more from the medical, their carers and the medical professionals they work with, but are they realistically going to get that?
If they are, it's going to take a very, very, very long time. You paint a very similar picture as to what's happening in the U.S. I'm fountain of eternal optimism, so there's always hope. So I like to think the boat will shift course. However, in the meantime, that it shifts course and that course is maybe just a few degrees more open, I really think fundamentally the change is going to come from your listeners, from the people, from the individual level who I see are understanding that the magic pill doesn't exist. And many times it comes at a cost. And ultimately, responsibility for our well-being is up to us. And so is our power. We are empowered to make decisions for us. I've seen a lot of disempowerment when folks go into doctors' offices. Ultimately, I believe that doctors should be guides and not dictators. And there's a lot wrong with the system. And I can guarantee you, having been trained in the system and having friends in the system, no one really wants to be practicing like a robot. Nobody wants to be seeing 25 patients a day. So the change I'm describing and you're also advocating and supporting, I think is going to come outside in more so, right? As people are saying, you know what? Okay, I'm not being helped. I am in chronic pain. There's something more here. I'm going to investigate XYZ modality. Concurrently, and a little more slowly within the system, doctors are patients too. And so I'm seeing openness as the doctors themselves have their own health issues, you know, and they're opening up to like, oh, hey, yoga really does work. Or, I've heard about this Reiki thing from some patients. Maybe I'll try it, right? And as they begin to experience more for themselves, they can help through their own experience share that with their patients.
Yeah, absolutely. Meditation is better than medication sometimes. I mean, it's getting that balance though, isn't it? Because if you go too much the other way and you don't want to take anything from medicine, it's knowing to balance the two, isn't it? Because obviously medicine often is life-saving sometimes. And it's getting that balance, which you seem to be advocating as well, getting that balance between getting the best out of the medical profession, but also alternative therapies and fusing them together. As I said, I think you're right. That's going to take a lot of time. There's also this perception that it's horrifically expensive. What are your thoughts on that for people who want alternative therapies and et cetera?
Well, ultimately, horrifically is up to whatever your experience in life is. It is expensive, yes, because it's out of pocket, very much so here in the U.S. Just one note with the balance. You know, yes, I am advocating balance. I advocate that everything has its own purpose. It serves its own purpose. And that's my point when I talk to the MD half of the equation. It's that there's not just one way, right? All of these modalities can serve a certain purpose to certain individuals at points in time. And so maybe the balance is 90% non-mainstream and 10% mainstream, or 100-0, or 60-40, or 10-90, whatever it is. But it really comes down to everybody being able to tune in to themselves more so than they're used to doing, right? So they can say, you know what, I'm getting this guidance from whoever, whatever the practitioner is, but I don't feel like that's what's right for me. Because ultimately, everyone should be in control of their own body and well-being. And so then, yes, when you it makes it difficult when you're going to practitioners who can't accept insurance, who for the most part, at least in the U.S., are really struggling to survive session by session. But it's got to start somewhere. And wellness is a journey, right? Wellness isn't that magic pill. And it is an inquiry. And it's more labor intensive. And right now, unfortunately, more resource intensive than other roads. But the more that more of us keep going to all of these different practitioners, the better they're able to keep offering us their services. And then maybe, you know, unfortunately, money speaks in our world right now, and that's when the insurance companies get involved. So in the US, they're just starting to cover chiropractic and physical therapy already, but like some Pilates, some acupuncture, some yoga, little by little. And the more people, it's like, you know, the more folks who eat organic, the more likely it is that it's able to appear on the shelves of Walgreens so that more people can eat organic. That's what I'm seeing. That's what my hope is. And for everyone listening who is on this journey, it is a journey and I totally support it. And you are a rock star because it is you, it's your body, it's your temple. And so what it takes, I applaud that initiative because I know, I understand.
It's what you're doing is you're encouraging people to say, look, you have choice, you have control over your life. But there's something that happens. And I don't know, I was recently had to go to the doctor a while ago and I suddenly become a child again. And it's like the doctor says something and we're sort of like conditioned, aren't we, to not question. And I did actually go on and seek a second opinion, which was different. But I still feel quite scared doing that. It's almost like you're committing a sin.
Yeah.
Do you find that with people that the doctor says something? That is gospel.
Yeah, I don't entirely know how we've gotten there. And it makes me think of the Stanley Milgram authority experiment, where basically all of the subjects listened to a bunch of actors in white coats because they were wearing white coats. You know, to a certain extent, yeah, we do need authorities and quote unquote experts in different fields, but not at the cost of our own voice, of our own sense of body what it needs. And I think we're also just stuck, you know, at a collective level. I see the world in terms of, very simplistically put, classical and quantum physics, and both exist. But we modern kind, have been worshiping at this altar of classical physics, which is much more on, off, right, wrong, good, bad. It's very dualistic, very linear. And there's the whole other aspect of the universe, the quantum, which is the gray zone. It's the spectrum where things aren't as clear or delineated. And I think we're seeing that clear, delineated doesn't necessarily mean right for us, right? And that's scary because we want things to be clear, delineated. We want people to be able to say, hey, do this. This is what your issue is. This is what's going to fix it. How nice would that be? But much of the time, that's just not reality. So I feel like we just have to get used to a more quantum paradigm of, you know, the powers with the perceiver.
It is absolutely. And to go back to my earlier point about, you know, alternative practitioners out there. And, you know, we are very blessed at the moment. There's so much out there. But I'm talking to you. You are the real deal. Anyone needs to go onto your website and look at your amazing credentials. You're a doctor. You know, you've done so much. And you also, with your powerful story at the beginning, you have experience of this, true experience. You are the real deal. But what's your advice to people when they are seeking out alternative therapies? How can you spot the frauds?
Oof, that's the million-dollar question.
They're often very charismatic and forceful, and they sometimes do come up with a personal story or whatever. And it can, you know, I have had many messages from people who have literally been scammed, and that concerns me in this area. There still needs to be more regulation, doesn't there?
Yeah, there does. And I've also had a lot of conversations of this ilk recently, and quite honestly, it's part of the Coherent Health platform that I've founded to have some way of being able to vet, because how do you know? And right now, I don't have a really solid, concrete answer to that. The best I can propose is that's the way you practice tuning in. That's the way you practice resonance. Intuition is you start deciding. You start by making a choice, and then you see the outcome. But you watch yourself making the choice and you see what was behind the choice. Was there actually a part of me that was saying, you know what this person is saying makes sense, but there's a red alarm for no logical reason, just saying, don't do it, don't go there, a soft voice, but I decided to go there anyway. And I think it's in making choices that end up quote unquote wrong or bad for us that in those choices we can learn and we can recognize how to make better choices. And that applies to choosing you know, practitioners, because ultimately right now you have to go with what makes sense to you. You can always ask them for referrals from other patients to ask for their experience. But my ideal world is, you know, people step into certain situations and they're not always going to be making 100% the best choice for them, but they're able to learn from that choice. And it's all about what comes next and then saying, you know what, here was my experience with this healer, didn't sit right with me. Next time I'm going to be a little more skeptical, or I know to ask these three questions.
I mean, they usually are red flags, isn't it? But sometimes we stick our head in the sand. I mean, I find that because I've been talking a lot about, you know, people often write to me and talk about mediums or psychics they want to visit, which is even perhaps even more difficult to sort out the yeah. wheat from the chaff, isn't it? And yeah. I always say, well, excessively high fees, that's a really big, big red flag sometimes, depending on their skill level. Endless repeat visits. You know, there are certain things you can look out for, but I guess the training and the endorsements from people, from trusted sources, word of mouth often is a great,
yeah.
Yeah, isn't it? But anyway, that is the topic of another
yes, episode.
Let's talk about you. And I actually knew about you. We were connected recently, weren't we, via the SHIP network?
Yes.
I actually knew about you because I had one of your astrology books about astrology in your body. Your Body in the Stars, it's called. And I really enjoyed it because I've written in my time about astrology too. And I love the way that you and your co-author, I believe that was Rebecca, was it? Somebody called Rebecca?
Yes, Rebecca Gordon collaborated with me. Yes.
Where you actually had a lovely approach to the human body. You know, I think of the human body as a psychic organ anyway, though, and the way you described it and linked it into each of the signs was just genius. I loved it. And how you can, if you have an ailment associated with a part of a body, how applying the sort of themes and life challenges of a sign to it can help you deal with that. Could you just talk about that book a bit?
Of course. So, you know, the context for the book is I work with the body as a substrate because through my lens, it connects to every aspect of us, the thoughts, the emotions, the soul, the spirit, and it connects really in any way that you want to be able to see it, so that we are so much more than meets the eye. And at a very general level, I think people know that. So, for example, most people know where they take stress in their body. Maybe it's their lower back. Maybe it's migraines. Maybe it's GI pain. You know, if you ask patients in a hospital, you know, why they had a heart attack, they're not going to say it was necessarily because of, you know, blocked blood vessels. They're going to tell you what the stress was, that it was financial, that it was due to a divorce, you know, too much stress at work. So at a very general level, people know that their body connects to these unresolved thoughts and emotions, which is what stress really is. So when I began working with the body, it was in that context with like, okay, the mechanics are very real. No one's arguing with that. And what else? Like, how can we help people give responsibility so that it's not just about, for the lower back pain, actin and myosin protein filaments contracting. Maybe it's about different themes going on in their life. So from that viewpoint, one day I had this light bulb go off that, oh my gosh, one of the ways you can see the body connect is through the zodiac. And at the time, it was really an instantaneous, it was an intuition, a moment, a light bulb. And I thought it was quote unquote mine, which jokes on me because that's the history of astrology. That's in fact how medicine was taught in the 14, 1500s was connecting the body to the zodiac. I didn't know that at the time. I just was able to tap into that knowledge. But when I quote unquote came up with that idea, it was, well, here's another great way that people can learn more about how they can take responsibility for their body. So if they are a Libra, they can say, okay, well, what are the parts that might be more affected? And Libra corresponds to the back. And conversely, maybe the person has no idea what sign they are, but they have lower back pain, or they're an Aquarius with lower back pain. They can go to see the lower back and read, oh, well, here are themes, you know, and Libra has a lot to do with people pleasing, or it can have a lot to do with people pleasing. And then you end up supporting others more than yourself. And then there you go with the lower back, you know, carrying the weight of the world, so to speak. So that's how I got to, the book. And I'm writing, I've written a couple, I'm writing another one, but there's so many different approaches. The Zodiac is one. I feel like a lot of, you know, even the more esoteric modalities you mentioned, like the psychics and tarot, they're all just a lens into the 96% of the universe we don't know, right? 4% is our electromagnetic spectrum that we can perceive and understand, but then the rest of it, we still don't really know. And I feel like all of these more esoteric modalities are just ways that humans over the past thousands of years have just been trying to tap into the greater fabric of understanding who they are and why they're here.
Oh, beautifully put. Thank you. Can I just go back to the astrology?
Of course.
Again, because I know my listeners, because I was talking often about people perceiving alternative medicine therapies as being very expensive, time consuming. And this is one way to immediately get it in a very simple, effortless way, really, isn't it?
Thank you.
And not expensive. Could I just go through the signs? So Aries, I assume, would be the head.
Yes.
Yeah, because I'm an Aries.
Ah.
Yeah, so the themes and challenges of an Aries. And so if I get a headache, how would knowing I'm an Aries help?
Well, so Aries rules the head. So are you prone to more headaches or blocked sinuses or migraines?
Yes.
You are? Yes. Okay. So when that occurs in your life, that is just your chance to say, okay, what's going on here? So now the Aries can really be, they can really have the blinders on, right? You guys can really see kind of from A to Z, you're the ram. Nothing is going to stay in your way once you see what is there and what you want to make happen. It's a very headstrong sign. Ha ha ha, pun intended. But sometimes when our blinders are too tight, it obscures the rest of our vision, right? And we don't always put on blinders knowingly. You know, there are different times in our lives when we realize, ooh, maybe it's time to open the scope, open our purview, see a bit more of what's out there. Because the full range of our eyesight and our eyes being on our head is, with peripheral vision, it's 180 degrees. So that's being able to see a lot. And we can't take in everything all of the time. So the question is, what are you taking in and what are you missing? What aspects of your environment are you not attending to that you should?
Fascinating. And if you're not an Aries and you're prone to headaches?
Same questions. Same. So the Zodiac lives all within our body. And I'm assuming you've done your natal chart. So you know that you're more than just your sun, your rising, your moon sign. Hmm. You have all of the different signs, you have the different planets, the houses, the configurations between all of them, some other celestial bodies. So it's all within us, regardless of what the sign, what your sign is.
Brilliant. So it's applying the lessons and challenges of a specific sign to where your ailment or concern is. Can I just quickly say, Taurus, what part of the body is that?
Taurus is the neck.
The neck.
Yes.
Okay, swallowing. Okay.
Swallowing, it can be the thyroid, it can be neck pain. Taurus can be a very sensitive sign. I always think of Ferdinand the Bull holding the rose in his mouth, lounging in the shade underneath the tree in the field. there's a lot of very sensual expression associated with that sign. And we don't always express that side of ourselves in our go, 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 rush, 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 do, 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 busy lives when, you know, we might be spending more time on logistics and less time on velvet and chocolate and poetry and things that make our heart sing. And it's not one or the other. Again, it's that the word balance that you mentioned. It's what is your particular balance? And your balance is going to look different than my balance and Fred's balance and Jane's balance.
I'm loving this. Gemini, part of the body?
Yes. So Gemini are the arms, forearms, hands. And I love that because Gemini is all about communication. It's the messenger. And think about, so right now you can't even see me. My hands are kind of up, flailing around. Think about how you use your hands to communicate. you know, and when they're out and moving in lots of gestures, and then of course we have ASL, which is an entire way to communicate using your hands, or conversely, if your hands are folded, you know, your arms are folded across your chest, your hands are hidden under your armpits, that is likewise communicating. And what I love about this is that anatomically, your arms start at the back of your heart center. They start on your upper thorax with your two scapula, the two shoulder blades, which means that, you know, messages really should be coming from the heart. And Gemini is a very heady, so to speak, sign. But it begs the question, when you are communicating, when you're delivering all of these brilliant insights, where are they coming from? Like, are you just speaking for the sake of it? Or are they founded in something greater?
Brilliant. Cancer?
The chest. We've got the chest, and Cancer is the crab. And, you know, the crab has its shell, a very protective shell. And Cancer is such a sensitive, such a compassionate sign. They have to have time inside the shell in order to emerge from the shell and get out there. But if they don't have enough internal shell time, they're going to burn out. They're going to feel frazzled. Maybe they're going to feel, you know, get more, you know, lung ailments. Maybe they're going to feel restriction in the chest, because they really need that internal nurturing time. And the chest, sorry, speaking about the armor. So you've got the rib cage, which is armor, and it's the armor that protects your lungs, your heart. Great practice for Cancer is breath work.
Wonderful. So for example, if you had some acid reflux or something like that, that would be a sign maybe that you need to just calm down, de-stress, do a bit more reflection, stepping back.
Yeah. And then that's an interesting question. You might be feeling it in the chest with the acid reflux, but it's coming from, you know, the Virgo, the abdomen. And, you know, none of this, again, we're in a more quantum world here. So we don't have the walls, we don't have the labels, we don't have the clear on off buttons. So maybe you're reading both of those messages. You know, Virgo is Virgo rules the abdomen, and Virgo is a very detailed, meticulous sign. In fact, one far end of the spectrum is hypochondriacs. Like you can get so OCD, so obsessive, that you're just concerned all of the time. And then a lot of people, as I mentioned before, do get stress in their stomachs, and reflux is part of it. So then, you know, maybe you read Virgo and Cancer if you're feeling it up in the chest, and comes back to, for you, what resonates with you, what makes sense to you, and then try that approach, start there. But yes, even for reflux, even if it comes from the abdomen, breath work is just great, right? we're running around our world in fight or flight, which is the sympathetic nervous system, which is literally holding our breath. We need more of the parasympathetic. We need the rest and digest. We need the intentional breath, the slow, deep breath. So I'm going to go with, regardless your sign, intentional breath work is fabulous.
You are a fount of wisdom, and I can hear all Leos listening, screaming, because Leo would hate to be left out. Mind just saying a little bit about Leo, what part of the body that connects to?
So Leo is the upper back and the heart. Leo, the lion, right? Yeah. Leo shines its light, and it shines its light not for itself, but ultimately to illuminate others. So as a Leo, the question really is, are you shining your light as bright as you need to be? And the light of that light, it comes from your heart. It's not coming from the mind and the mental field. It's not coming from the to-dos or how you think you should show up or what you think you should say, but the heart-centered consciousness, the passion with which you arrive. And you can see in someone's posture, you know, if they're shrinking, they're going to be stooped over, right? They're going to be hiding the heart center. Their upper back is going to curve as they hunch over. And it's a very more protective stance and posture than standing up, shoulders straight back, heart out, right? That's more vulnerable. That's putting all of yourself out there. But that's what the Leos have to do. And again, it's not just for them. It's to be able to light up everybody else as well.
Gorgeous. Now, you mentioned Libra. So if you wouldn't mind just reminding us of that, and then Scorpio and Sagittarius.
So, okay. This is great. We're doing, this is the tour of the book. Tour of your body in the stars. So Libra, Libra is the lower back. And of course, all of this is just grossly simplifying it. But Libra is the lower back, and Libra is, you know, it's justice. It's the scales. It's the sign of balance. And so when we think about how we're balancing supporting ourselves with supporting others, usually there are always tweaks we can make in that domain. And I think a lot of people these days feel that they're taking care of others better than themselves. And then that doesn't work out, right? Because you just blow out, you get burnt out, and you might get back pain. And Libra rules the lower back. And the lower back, the vertebrae there are the largest vertebrae in your spinal column. And it's because it literally supports the rest of the body on top of it. So Libras, how are you supporting others? How are you supporting yourself? How's that balance working out for you? And what can you do to tweak it? And supporting yourself one layer deeper is, well, what is supporting yourself? Is it time for a new perspective on that? How are you supporting yourself, body, mind, emotion, soul, universal intelligence? You know, we need to keep updating these perspectives as we change. You know, you're not the same person now that you were 5 months ago, 5 years ago, 15 years ago.
Oh, I could listen to you forever, Stephanie. You're such a fascinating lady. Thank you. And just, I mean, we haven't got time to go in depth to Scorpio,
okay.
Sagittarius,
yes.
Capricorn, Capricorn. A couple of words for each. So the Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn.
Okay, super quickly. So Scorpio, yes, yes. Sorry, I enjoyed this so much. I could talk forever. Scorpio is the sacral center. It's the womb. It's the pelvis. It's the creative center. It is passion. It is life and death and rebirth, and what parts of you need to die so you can soar like the eagle, which is actually one of the symbols of Scorpio. And hip circles, belly dancing, loosening up that area is going to help you express all of the creative impulses that are in that area. Sagittarius. I am a Sagittarius through and through. They roll.
I'm just going to ask you what your sign is.
Yes.
So thank you.
Yeah. Sagittarius, sun, Leo, moon, Aries, rising. I am just a blazing forest fire. Sagittarius rules the hips, and hips don't lie. I love Tina Turner, I believe, is a Sagittarius, and think about her just shaking those hips. Ultimately, where your two hips point is where your body is going to go, regardless of where your torso is, where your hips are pointed is where you're going to walk. So what is your direction? And you got the centaur, the archer. It's up to the Sagittarius to aim high, really high, high aspirations, because there's always this kind of lower party centaur the Sagittarian nature is fighting against, or should I say working with. But what is your aim? How high can you make that direction? And how do you get there? Keeping true to the fun part of yourself. So hips don't lie. Capricorn, the knees, the legs. Think about the goat walking up the hill, walking up the mountain. This is like, okay, Sagittarius, you're aiming high, pie in the sky, all these aspirations. We're gonna ground this step by step, very methodical. Up the mountain for the greater good of all, very community oriented, but it's your knees. So how are you stepping? Are you moving forward on your trajectory, doing too much, too quickly, which is the case with many of us in modern society? If so, you might be feeling the toll in your knees. If you are, then the question is, okay, the what is the same? What I am doing from A to Z is the same. How? How can I do that? How can I move differently? How can I walk more easefully, gracefully, compassionately, whatever you want the adjectives and adverbs to be. Aquarius means you are moving forward your way. It rules the ankle joint, which moves the foot, very, very nuanced parts of the body. And Aquarius is a very individualistic, nuanced sign. So it's all about staying true to those awesomely crazy, quirky parts that make you you. Aquarius is like the movie Hair. It's what we're moving into, where we're all really just supposed to own our own freak flags and realize they're not freakish at all, and bring that, right? We're breaking down kind of the structures that Capricorn set up. So Aquarius is, you know, you're placing your foot on the ground, similar to what I just mentioned for Capricorn, but how, with what mark are you making? Pisces rules the foot. Pisces brings us full circle within the zodiac, head to toe. And Pisces is this just beautifully etheric sign that I feel energetically is always kind of searching for a structure. And that's why we see so many artists, poets, photographers, you know, beauty editors, folks who are able to perceive universal intelligence as greater truths and then give it very interesting forms. What's the form that you are bringing to the greater truths and understandings you receive? They can't be too linear. They can't be too heavy, but it also can't be willy-nilly and just floating in the ether perpetually out there. There has to be that balance. So for Pisces and the feet, again, how are your feet? Do you even know? When's the last time you've looked at your feet, loved your feet? Like, your feet ground all of you. Most of us walk on our feet, hop on our feet, dance on our feet, move on our feet throughout our lives, right? Our feet very much give form to our physical experience of the world. So what are you doing with them? How are you using them?
Oh, this is a tour de force, Stephanie.
You're welcome.
Very greedy for my listeners, because I would love them to seek you out. One quick question before I ask you to give your details and ask you a couple of questions to end this interview. The quick question is, you've written extensively, as we can hear, about the wisdom of the body. What about the body as a predictive, precognitive organ? Because there's a lot of research that when we sense the future, it's often in our bodies first through heart rate, raised heart rate, sweating, that kind of thing. Because I've worked with neuroscientists researching intuition and precognition, and it's often in the body that you sense something before it happens first. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Not formed thoughts. That's fascinating. I believe it. Again, I see the body as my lens. So it's our antenna. It's how you are going to, in our physical embodied world, register your experience, whatever you're tapping into. Funny, I was just having a chat with a friend who is saying she's opening up into precog abilities. And I don't know much about it. And I would love at some point to hear what you know about it.
The scientific term is presentiment, and I co-authored a book with Dr. Julia Mossbridge, who's one of the world leading experts in it. She did some research in it, which has been published in many, many journals, about, you know, the ability to sense the future. Often it's through the body that we can sense what we don't know first. I just find that fascinating. It's presentiment, but
yeah, and I know we could keep going, because I think the practice for that is what I was talking about with intuition, is how do you sense this? How do you sense the subtle? So whether the subtle is arriving as something about to happen in the future, or something that's information that you're receiving right now, or information you're getting from the past, how does that register in your body? Because if you can keep tuning in, think how powerful that is. How much more access you have to the whole universe.
I know. I mean, the overriding message of this interview is what is your body, the wisdom of your body, telling you right now? Tune in. Don't ignore it. Please. Where can people find out about you, Stephanie? Order your books, find out about your work and your mission.
Thank you for that opportunity. Pretty much everything appears in a very beautifully outdated form on my website, stephaniemarengo.md.com, stephaniemarengo.md.com. That will give you access to what I've created, a bit about where I'm at now. Again, I'm not someone who spends tons of time updating the website, but it's a good launch point. And then if you happen to be a practitioner listening to this, Coherent Health is a platform I just launched to bring all of the different practitioners of all of the different health and wellness modalities together so that more clients can ultimately find you and receive your work. So clients doing this for you, so you can find the folks and receive coordinated care from them.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. You've been absolute inspiration. And I hope everyone listening will seek you out and find out more. And links will be in the show notes if you didn't catch that during the interview. Thank you, Stephanie. Before we go, as people seek you out, because I write a lot about dreams and I love to give people images to play around with, because this is an audio only podcast for a reason, because I want when people listening to visualize, get proactive, dream, imagine. So to help them imagine you, create an avatar for you, can you just answer these three questions, your first instinct? If you could be an animal, a color, and a musical instrument, what would they be and why?
Ooh. First of all, animal. Okay. Animal, horse, because free, royal, just moving extraordinarily through space. Color?
Color, yes, please.
Let's see. Color, not thinking about it. A vibrant blue. I have no idea why. And
sky and sea. Yeah, it's yeah. So yeah, we got a blue horse, and now we need an instrument.
A blue horse and a piano. Piano is to me just are messengers of music, as music exists as a channel of just divine universal intelligence. It's, you know, when I hear Chopin, Beethoven, Mozart, just music that connects to math, connects to eternity, really. To me, it's the piano that brings that through.
And also, piano is the entire orchestra, isn't it? You can hear the entire orchestra in a piano.
Yeah.
You can hear all those sounds. And that's, of course, your work. You want the entire orchestra, holistic health. This is beautiful. A blue wild horse playing a piano. That's the image.
Excellent.
Thank you from my heart and soul for your precious time today.
Thank you all. My pleasure.
Do hope that interview spoke to you and that you will seek Stephanie and her work and her books out. All details in the show notes. Now, before the interview, I promised a psychic look at your body, so here it is. In coming days, start thinking of the different parts of your body from a psychic point of view. It really will help you understand both yourself and others better. You might want to assign personality to different body parts. If a body part appeared in a dream, how would you interpret it? For example, let's start with your head. Have you ever watched someone nodding off to sleep in a car or train? The head drops, then they wake up and the head comes up again. It's a battle for the head to stay on top, isn't it? The head likes to think of itself as king or queen of the castle, and it is. The next time you are with a group of people, just notice their heads. Watch how their heads move. If you copied the way their head moved, you might be able to generate within you a feeling of the emotions that person is experiencing. Now, let's move from the head to, let's go to your arms and voice and your hands. Now, your hands, arms, and voice all perform an extremely complex dance, don't they, of sound and gesture. The next time you speak to someone, try to concentrate just on their hand and arm movements. Can you see patterns? Can you tell what kind of mood they are in? Some psychics only need to hear a person's voice to gain impressions. So listen carefully to people's tone when they speak to you. Can you tell what they are feeling? You are not so much listening to what other people say. You are tuning into the tone or sounds they use and make. Really listen and try to decipher the emotions floating around in the voice. Even everyday phrases like excuse me or pass the sauce please are loaded with emotional undertones if you start listening to them psychically. If you are more of a visual person, you may want to close your eyes and listen intently to see how that voice appears in your mind's eye. What shapes, colors, or images can you see? And a reminder, there's a reason why white shores is going to stay audio only. It's because every episode is an exercise in psychic and spiritual growth, because I'm encouraging you to tune in to the voice patterns, what you hear both from myself and from each special guest I bring on each week. I could certainly do this podcast as a visual on a visual platform, but I choose not to, for the reason that I want you to actually use your imagination and to empower your imagination with every single episode. Moving on, let's take a psychic look at your legs and feet. Think about how you and other people walk. Leg movements can speak volumes about a person. You might want to try to copy the way someone else walks. This can bring on powerful feelings of being in tune with that person. And last, but by no means least, your feet are your connection to the earth. Ever heard the phrase, put yourself in my shoes? It's amazing, actually, how putting on a new pair of shoes can make you feel different. And if you want to understand someone else better, just imagine that their shoes are in front of you and then step into them. Now, you can go through every body part in this way. You get the gist. And once you start to think of the human body in this psychic way, assigning feelings and characteristics or even a personality to different body parts, you might want to do some people watching, but don't do it in a way that you'll be noticed or that gives other people a feeling of unease or creeps them out. Just go somewhere public one day and simply do some people watching. Don't judge or comment. Just imagine what it would be like to walk in their shoes, to be them. Let your imagination take you there and notice how you feel when you step into their lives, wear their clothes. The more you do this, the more you flex the superpower that is your empathy, and the easier it becomes to read other people more accurately. You can also see behind the masks that people wear. But never forget in all this to first and foremost focus on your own body and understanding how your own body speaks to you. I've often said on this podcast, from a psychic perspective, your body speaks to you through your heart rate and your gut initially. You really can't understand others until you understand yourself fully first. So you might want to just start there before you do your people watching. But people watching is fun, and it's a great exercise to empower your imagination and to think psychically. Self-knowledge is the beginning of all wisdom, and that is especially true when it comes to understanding body talk and viewing the body from a psychic point of view. Do start with your own awareness of your body first and how your body is intuitively speaking to you every day. And remember that although I've focused on different body parts, really it is a whole body experience. You can start right now by sensing your whole body psychically, simply by feeling your pulse on your neck or your wrist. That feeling of your life blood coursing through you with every breath you take is a link with the great mystery of consciousness, your life. Now, breathing may seem the simplest thing that you do, but many people spend their entire lives trying to get it right, studying it, perhaps because breathing is the essence of life. So every time from now on that you slow down the pace of your life and take a beat to concentrate on your breathing alone, the feeling of it, the slow in and the slow out, you are accessing, you are connecting to your most basic, authentic, psychic, spiritual self. You are connecting to amazing you. thank you from my heart and soul for being here and walking beside me in spirit on white shores. Sensitive, kind, compassionate souls like you who see beyond the material are needed more than ever today to help this earth heal and evolve. If you have any questions, stories, or insights to share, I absolutely love hearing from you and aim to reply to everyone in due course. My website is www.teresachung.com. My contact email is angeltalk710@aol.com. And you can message me via my Instagram handle, TheTeresaChung, as well as my Facebook and Twitter author pages. Until we meet again on these white shores, keep being amazing spiritual you, sending my eternal love and gratitude.